It is a privilege and an honor to be able to come and bring the word here to the body at Heaven's Creek. I tell you what, Brother Scott, man, I was worshiping, and I felt like if you're not worshiping with the music and with singing, just the presence of God, then something's wrong with you, because I was really just feeling the presence of the Lord during worship this morning. It was awesome. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to be looking at a guy named Elijah. But not necessarily just Elijah, but the works that God did through Elijah. And Elijah is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And if you don't know about the story of Elijah, please look him up and study. Elijah is one of two men who never died. The first one's Enoch, because he walked with God and God took him. And the second one was Elijah, who God took up in a chariot of fire. If you don't think that's awesome, you really need to read up on that. 1 Kings chapter 17. I got a question though. Think back in a time in your life when it seemed that it was really hard to trust God. Now maybe you're thinking, well, there's never been a time in my life. Well, think back. There has been. For all believers, there's been a time in your life when you have felt like, man, it's really hard for me to trust God during this time. Maybe it was financial, and maybe it happens every week. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one, and you couldn't think about how to get through it. Or maybe it was during COVID lockdowns, and you just thought, well, you know, I have no hope. Where's hope at during this time? And they've had so many people during the lockdowns to think, well, you know, where is hope? They were isolated and set apart from the world and set apart from their loved ones, set apart from their brothers and sisters in the church, and it just seemed like that times were tough. You know, we all have tough times, and we all have times of doubt, we all have times of struggle, and we all fail. But God does not fail. He does not struggle, and He does not doubt. We can and should look to God. He is our provider and our source of hope. God always has a plan that can never be hindered. So if you have your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 8, I'm going to read 8 through 16 to start. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar, that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, and make a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward you may make one for yourself and one for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, God, as we look at your word, as we look at the life of Elijah, as we look at this widow from Zarephath and Sidon. God, we see that your hand of provision is on this whole situation. God, we see that you have chosen Elijah, you have chosen this widow, Lord, to bring about your glory. God, we pray that as I preach the word today, Lord, first that you would overcome my inadequacies, God, that you would preach your word, and that it would be heard and received, and that you would be glorified in it. God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So number one is God's provision to sustain. God's provision to sustain. When we look at this, we started in verse 8, but I want to backtrack a little bit through verses 1 through 7. We see first God's provision to sustain Elijah. In verses 1 through 7, God has sustained Elijah through drought during the reign of King Ahab. Ahab, if you don't know about Ahab, he was the wickedest king up until this point. And to make this point thorough and really get across this point, in three verses, 1 Kings 16:30, it said, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him." And in verse 33, three verses later, it said, "Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." So if you don't think that this was a bad king, he repeats it twice in three verses, how bad of a king he was. And so because of the sin of the king, because of the sin of the people, God told Elijah, he said, "Go to the king and tell him that there's going to be a drought in the land. There's not going to be any dew or any rain until I say so." And so he goes and he tells King Ahab, "There's not going to be any dew, there's not going to be any rain for the foreseeable future until I say so." And it ended up being 3.5 years without rain or dew on the land. But God had a plan for Elijah. He said, "Go and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And when you go and hide yourself there," he said, "don't worry about water." The brook will provide your water. And don't worry about food, because in the evening, morning and the evenings, ravens will bring bread and meat in the mornings and the evenings. And so when we look at Elijah, we see that God provided him food, that God provided him water, and God also provided him security from King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Right? And so he had all he needed. God sustained and provided for Elijah in his time of need. Everything that he needed, God provided. But then the brook dries up, and then when the brook dries up, it's not like God forsaken Elijah, but he said, "No, how about this? I have commanded a widow to take care of you." But this widow is not in Israel. This widow is in Sidon. So when we look at it, we see God provides for the widow and her family. God tells Elijah to go. Get out of Israel and go to Sidon. And Zarephath was a place in Sidon. And Sidon was the home of worship of Baal. If you've never heard of Baal, Baal was the worship of a false god. And it was also the home of Jezebel, who was the King Ahab's wife. She was from Sidon. And so God tells Elijah, get out of Israel and go to a widow over here. In this idol worship, heathen, forsaken place, because there is a person there that I have chosen that she is going to take care of you. And in so doing, you are going to take care of her. So God went to this, Elijah went to this pagan country. And when he got there, he saw an old woman picking up sticks. Now, for her to be picking up sticks, that says that basically she is poor, and also she probably doesn't have a husband to do it for her. So Elijah goes up to her and he says, "Will you get me some water?" This was kind of a test. He was going to test and see if this was the widow that God had for him for provision. So he says, "Can you get me some water?" And as she's going to get him some water, he says, "While you're at it, can you make a little cake of flour for me to eat?" And now, you think about it, the drought was in Israel. The drought was also in Sidon. So this poor widow, she looks at him and she says, "Well, I'm picking up sticks. I'm picking up sticks because what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a fire, and the little bit of bread and the little bit of flour and the little bit of oil I have left, I'm going to make two cakes with them, one for me and my son, and that's all we got left. That's it. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to starve to death. Then we're going to die." So her plan was, "I'm going to eat a little bit more, and I'm just going to starve to death, me and my son." But Elijah says to her, "Well, go and make me a cake first and bring it to me, and then make for one for you and your son." You know, these cakes had to be really small pieces of bread, you know. In a time of drought, in a time where food is famine pretty much, because no drought, no food, right? No rain, no food. So a guy comes up to her and says, hey, make me a cake before you make your own cake. Don't you think during this time, many people would say whatever they could to get whatever kind of food they could get. This widow had to have a lot of faith. She had to have a lot of faith because she gave him at least a third of what she had left. And that's all she had. But Elijah says, as the Lord God of Israel says, if you do this, then your flour will not run out and your oil will not run out. God will provide for you. He will be your sustainer. Now, it had to take a lot of faith for her to actually believe him, but she did. She believed him. And because of the little thing that she did, God provided much for her. She obeyed a little, and God provided a lot. It says not only did she have enough for her and her son, but also her and her household and Elijah. That could be her distant relatives, the people around, until the rains came again. So God continued to provide for this widow who had nothing and who her plan was to starve to death. God could have chosen any of the many widows in Israel to bless. But he told Elijah to go to Zarephath to this particular widow. You know, even Jesus speaks of this widow in Luke 4, 24 and 25. He says, but I say to you in truth, that there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. This widow, her lot was she was widowed, she was poor, without influence before the world, but she was chosen by God. Her self-denial and her faith, although on the verge of death from starvation, she will share what she can and believe the word of the prophet as the word of God. And her reward, she is not delivered from death by hunger. She's not only delivered from death by hunger, but she receives continuous what she and her whole household needed. God provided. So if God provides for Elijah and he provides for the widow, don't you think he could provide for us? God is also our provider. He is also our sustainer. And I hope you believe that. Do you believe that God is faithful in the things that we need? He is. At the end of Philippians in 4:19, Paul wrote, and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches, his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Everything we need, God will supply to those who trust him. As he provided for Elijah, as he provided for the widow, as he provided for her son, as he provided for her family, God provides for us. In Matthew 6:26, it says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? God is our provider. You know, in our country, it's a time of inflation. We see gas prices going through the roof. We wonder, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? We look around our world, we see war. We see the threats of war. And we wonder, what's going to happen? But you know, our God is still sovereign. He's still on his throne, and he's still in control. Amen. So no matter what we face, and no matter what we go through, God will be there. And if you're his, you should know that intimately and personally. Listen to me. God will provide every need for those in Christ Jesus. Not only will he provide our physical needs for his children, but more importantly, he'll supply our spiritual needs as well. When we're in times of drought in our lives, when we don't feel like God is near, he is nearer than you know. He is always near. It is us, many times, who are far away. James 4, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. He is always waiting and ready. Maybe the reason that you're far off is because you need to repent. Sometimes sin in our lives, sometimes secret sin in our lives will and sometimes not so secret sin in our lives will draw us away from God. So when that happens, we need to repent and draw close. Maybe you're feeling stale. Well, God is provider of all your spiritual needs. He will be there to draw you near when you come to Him. So we see that God is provider, God is sustainer. Now we see that God has power over death. So if we look back at our Bibles and go to verse 17 of chapter 17. It's now it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And then he took him from her bosom and carried him to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him." The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." God's power over death. The mouth of the Amazon River is 40 miles wide. 40 miles wide, the mouth of the Amazon River. You think the Mississippi's mouth is big, right? The Amazon River is 40 miles wide. The mighty river's source is probably a trickle flowing from the bosom of the earth. And its long course tributaries add to its volume until finally it becomes a mighty river. Such is the course of sin. It may start as a trickle, but then tributaries come into it and sin can build and build and build. So first we see the wages of sin is death. This widow was a Gentile from Sidon, but she knew about the Lord. And she may have knew the Lord and before Elijah came. We know that she knew the Lord after Elijah came. But when her son had died, when the life of her son was gone, the first thing that came to her mind was that God was punishing her for her sin. Now we know that sin leads to death. In Romans 6:23 it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can also look at the first sin in Genesis when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? They were living. They weren't dying. They sinned and then they began to die. They went from being sinless and ageless to dying. Because of the curse brought on by sin, you know what? Guess what? Because of that, we all sin. Like the catechism question said. We all sin and we all die. Sin is something on this side of the glory we'll always struggle with. We all struggle with different sins and temptations, but God has given believers the power to overcome sin. Now that doesn't mean that if you're a believer in Jesus, you will not sin, because you will. But it means that you have the power over sin. It means that you won't live a life of sin. You can have the power over sin to make it where it doesn't control your life. That is given by the power of the Spirit who lives in believers. So this widow was right that sin leads to death, but God has power over sin and death. In this case, her sin was not the reason for her death, for her son's death. But instead, that it was the power of God could be seen by the widow. It reminds me in John 9 of the man born blind. In the story of the man born blind, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said in verse 3, "It was neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, I believe that that's why this widow's son died. It wasn't because of her sin, even though she thought so. It was because so that the works of God could be displayed in this situation. It was a common thought in the Old Testament that for something awful to have happened, it was because of sin. But that's not always the case. God uses Elijah's faith here in the resurrection of her son to prove His glory in this situation. So when we look at this story, we see that she's holding on to her son. Her son's life's not in him anymore. And Elijah takes her son and he takes him up to his room and he lays him on his bed and he lays himself on him three times as kind of signifying maybe that he was giving his life to him. And he cried out to the Lord three times, Why are you doing this? Why are you taking the child of this widow who I'm staying with? And he asked the Lord to give him back his life. Regardless of the method he used, the important fact is that God raised the boy from the dead. We can give a lot of credit to Elijah here, but guess what? Elijah's not God. And Elijah by himself cannot raise the dead. Baal, whose people around there worshiped Baal, Baal could not bring him back from the dead. He was a false god. He was nothing. Only Yahweh God could bring him back from the dead. And that's what he did. God heard the plea of Elijah, and he raised the boy from the dead, giving himself glory. Have you ever wondered if God hears your pleas? Have you ever wondered, am I just speaking to the air, or does God really hear me? Sometimes it may seem like God is silent, doesn't it? Maybe something, we had a burden on our heart, and we're just crying out to God. We're saying, God, help me! Help me, I can't do it! And you cry out and cry out and cry out, but you feel like God is silent. Guess what? He's not. He hears you. He hears every word. If you're a follower of Jesus, He hears your pleas and He hears your cries. He hears your petitions. He hears your thanksgiving. He hears your praises. No prayer is wasted. I forget who it was, maybe Martin Luther said, if we knew what our prayers actually accomplished, we'd never get up off our knees. We'd continue to pray and pray and pray. God heard Elijah's pleas, and He raised the boy from the dead. Lastly, I want to say that the widow's son was raised from the dead only to die again. You say, well, that's kind of a crude way to put the end of this thing. The widow's son was raised from the dead only to die again. With all the resurrection stories in the Bible, except one, they all end the same way. Whether the Bible says they end the same way or not, they do. We know they do, right? Everybody who got resurrected in the Bible died again. Except for Jesus. You can look at each one of them. Lazarus, he died again. The Shunammite died again. The widow's son died again. I mean, they all raised to life temporarily, but then guess what? They died again. Except for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus was raised never to die again. We know that He is seated at the right hand of God in glory. You know something else that's amazing? When we die, we will be raised to life too, never to die again. We'll be more alive on that day than we ever have been before. D.L. Moody said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all. Out of this old clay tenement, into a house as an immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Guess what? When we are raised again, we'll be like Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we will be Jesus, because we won't. But as He is in a glorified body, guess what? We will be in a glorified body. It'll be untainable. It'll be unsinnable. It'll be glorious. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:8 said, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." We all will die. Shocker. It's just part of life. It's part of the curse. We all will die. But the great thing is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will rise again to never die again. You will be in glory with Him. Some people live longer than others. Some people, if you really live a long life, you could live 100 years. At the most, 120. But we consider a long life about 80 years, 85 years. 90 years is really good. That is not a breath of eternity. That is not a blink of eternity. 85 years, 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years isn't anything compared to eternity. We live in this body for a short time. And this body is full of sin. It's full of corruption. It's full of all kinds of wrongness. But in Christ, when we are raised again, we will be raised in an incorruptible body that will be perfect, in the presence of a holy and wonderful God. After Sir Walter Raleigh was beheaded in the Tower, they found his Bible. These true and striking lines were written the night before his death. "Even such is time that takes his trust. Our youth, our joys, are all we have, and pays us but with age and dust. Who in the dark and silent grave, when we have wandered all our ways, shuts up the story of our days. But from this earth, this grave, this dust, my God shall raise me up, I trust. All the things of this world he had lost, but he kept his faith, and faith spoke to him in the hope of life beyond the grave." Do you have this hope? Do you have the hope that one day, when the Lord takes me out of this life, that I will be raised anew with him to life eternal? If you know Jesus Christ, then you have that hope. If you don't, I pray that the Lord is moving on your heart today to draw you to himself. I'm going to ask Brother Corey to come up for a time of invitation, and I'm going to pray. But whatever it is that you have, if you have troubled heart today, I pray that you would come to the Lord and bring it to him. If you are missing hope, if you're in despair, if you are just beat down, come to the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that He would draw you to Himself today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. God, we thank You for Your Son, who died the death we should have died, but rose to life eternal. God, and we have this hope in Him, that if we're in Him, when we die, we will be raised to life too. You have took on our sins and gave us Your righteousness. God, I pray that You would speak to our hearts today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.